Issues, Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues, Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues, Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. 300.
When I get on a plane, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous.
Juan feels the way he feels. That is not for me to pass judgment on. His feelings that he expressed on Fox News are really between him and his psychiatrist or his publicist or take your pick.
Right now, the whole world is watching Crystal Cathedral, and that, again, gives us an opportunity to show that God is a big, mighty, provisional God.
I'm reminded of great prophet Jeremiah, who did not have a crystal cathedral. He did not have much of a following. People didn't like him, but yet he was one of the Lord's great servants of the Word.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues, Etc.
Well, let's see. It was a firing rather abrupt after Juan Williams, a journalist and news analyst, made a comment on Fox News about Muslims and his concern when boarding planes, seeing people who openly identify primarily as Muslims. He said it makes him afraid. It makes him nervous. He was fired from National Public Radio, where he had a long association. Some rather imprudent comments made by one of the leaders at National Public Radio, and an apology today. Was Juan Williams' concern, his association of Muslims and Islam with the danger of terrorism, irrational? We're going to answer that question, or try to answer that question. Robert Spencer will be with us for the first few minutes of Issues, Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Robert Spencer will be our guest for about 10 minutes. Then we'll have Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe respond to arguments against Scripture alone. We are coming to you live this Monday afternoon, October the 25th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC, or visit our Facebook fan page. Leave a question or a comment for Ken Samples coming up here in 10 minutes, right there, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Robert Spencer is a regular guest. He's director of Jihad Watch and author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, welcome back.
Todd, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Many of us make this association. I have many times flown and been concerned about someone who is dressed in what I kind of consider to be Muslim garb, and the same kind of nervousness that Juan Williams expressed that got him fired from National Public Radio. Is the association with Islam and the danger, the threat of terrorism, irrational?
Well, look, consider this, Todd. The Islamic jihadists who killed 3,000 people on 9/11 were doing so in the name of Islam. They weren't wearing Muslim garb, to be sure. They were dressed in Western garb. But when their writings were discovered, they related what they were doing to the teachings of Islam, as has Osama bin Laden, as has Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the other 9/11 plotters who issued some statements last year. And so this is something that is also universal among Islamic jihadists around the world, that they always explain what they're doing and justify violence on the basis of the texts and teachings of Islam. And so it's entirely reasonable and rational for a non-Muslim to see all this and, like Juan Williams, to think, I can't be sure that any given Muslim on this airplane is going to be somebody who rejects all that or somebody who is in favor sure of all that, because there is, after all, no Islamic group anywhere in the world that has said, if you believe in the Islam of Osama bin Laden and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, then you're not welcome in this mosque, you're not welcome in this Islamic school. None of them have done that. And so how are we supposed to know?
So what's the disconnect, then, that something that is so obvious to kind of the average American, what's the disconnect in the major American media between Islam and the threat of terrorism?
Well, I think that this illustrates the increasing gap between the worldview of the media elites and the political elites and the way the common people see the world. The media elites want to pretend that Islam is a religion of peace that's been hijacked by a tiny minority of extremists, and that they no more have anything to do with Islam than any extremists who claim some allegiance to some religion or ideology have any claim on it in actual fact. In other words, somebody like Fred Phelps, the guy with the God hates fag signs, is not representative of Christian preachers any more than Osama bin Laden is representative of Muslims. Now, the problem here is that you have mainstream teachings of Islam that do mandate warfare against unbelievers and violence against unbelievers. These things are part of Islamic teaching. And so the problem with the media elite's view of this is that it simply doesn't take that into account and assumes that Islam and Christianity are essentially identical in the content of their teachings and that they both teach peace. But this is really just an a priori view that is not really based on any actual evidence.
Robert, how do you explain what you mentioned before, the hesitancy, sometimes the silence of Islamic groups when it comes to the actions, the threats, and the Quranic interpretations of what we would call radical Islam?
Well, one of the primary reasons why you don't see Islamic groups speaking out more forcefully, I mean, you find Islamic groups condemning terrorism in vague terms and condemning attacks on innocent civilians in vague terms. That kind of thing is very easy to find. Much harder to find are Islamic groups that are willing to condemn specifically terrorism against the United States and Israel, to acknowledge that Muslims have committed it and that Americans and Israelis can be and are innocent civilians. That is much harder to find, and you will find many Muslim spokesmen say that no non-Muslim can be innocent, and so the 9/11 hijackers didn't kill any innocent civilians. Now, see, this is a very insidious thing that really undercuts a lot of the condemnations, but the reason why you don't see more forthright condemnations is simply because the Islamic jihadis really do have the texts and teachings of Islam on their side, and so there really isn't much of anything that moderate Muslims have to stand on in the way of Islamic theology. They can't point to peaceful teachings of the Quran and Islam and that teach peaceful coexistence with unbelievers as equals in a secular society on an indefinite basis. There is no idea of that in Islam, and so it's very hard to it's very hard for them to speak out without getting accused of being heretical in an Islamic context, and that can get you killed.
Are you saying that all Muslims are guilty or complicitous in the kind of actions, or at least the ideology, of men like Osama bin Laden?
No, certainly not. I'm saying that Islam teaches certain things. Now, what any individual Muslim does about those things that it teaches is a matter that you can't generalize about, because just as in every religious tradition, there's a spectrum of belief and knowledge and fervor among those who accept the teachings. So, for example, you know, a lot of polls in recent years have said that most Catholics ignore the Church's teaching on contraception, but that doesn't change the Church's teaching on contraception. The Catholic Church teaches that contraception is sinful, and so it doesn't matter if even 99% of Catholics practice it. It's the same thing in Islam. If Islam teaches warfare against unbelievers and most Muslims don't wage war against unbelievers, that doesn't really show anything about the teachings itself. It just shows something about the way in which those teachings are generally applied.
Where would you suggest the media, members of the media, go to? Because it seems partly it kind of either an ignorance or a lack of willingness to learn about the true nature of Islam. Where would they learn the true nature of Islam?
Well, I think that really if journalists or public policy analysts want to learn about Islam, they ought to go to what Muslims themselves say about it and not to what non-Muslims say about it, and that includes myself. They should read the Quran, and reading the Quran is not so easy on its own, so they should read the Hadith, the traditions of Muhammad, specifically the portions of the Hadith that contain tafsir, which is commentary on the Quran, and also the standalone tafsir that contain Quran commentary that are generally considered to be reliable by Muslims. And then they'll see that there really is a mandate for warfare against unbelievers, there really is a death penalty for apostates, there really is an institutionalized oppression of women, and so on. And so these things they will see in there if they care to look, but most people just assume, you know, or they just airily dismiss the uncomfortable teachings of Islam by saying, well, there's violence in the Bible too. But there's a reason why you don't have armed Jewish or Christian terrorist groups committing acts of violence and justifying them on the basis of Jewish and Christian teachings. There's a reason why you do have armed terrorists committing acts of violence and justifying them on the basis of Islamic teachings. And those differences, the reasons why you don't have those two groups, the Jewish and Christian groups, but you do have Muslim groups, the answer to that is found in the Quran's particular contents and the way in which they're understood by Muslims.
With only 30 seconds, Robert, what's the lesson to be learned from the firing of Juan Williams by National Public Radio? 30 seconds.
There's an all-out war on free speech. The Organization of the Islamic Conference is trying to silence non-Muslims and their criticisms of Islam. And so this is where we have to make a stand, or we're going to lose this freedom.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books, including The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend the remainder of this hour with Ken Samples. Scripture alone is a very common teaching in Holy Scripture. Not all Christians hold to it. In fact, there is an entire raft of arguments mounted by Christians against Scripture alone, and we'll try and take as many of them as we can on the other side of this break, spending the remainder of this hour on those arguments made against Scripture alone with Ken Samples, senior scholar at Reasons to Believe. I invite your questions and comments live this Monday afternoon, October the 25th, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or leave one at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Do Lutherans just follow the teachings of Martin Luther? How is Lutheranism similar and different from historic churches like Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is Lutheranism 101. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101 by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Is it possible to be evangelical and Catholic? Lutheranism 101.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. Issuesetc.org. Stay connected. Issuesetc.org.